Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Sync for May 5th, 2020. My name is Andrew Turley. I'm sitting here with my cat, Polo, who is trying to disrupt the meeting. If everybody could go and introduce themselves, that would be great.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
Hi, I'm Theo Butler.
I'm Joe McAlee.
Hi, I'm Gord Tischer.
I'm Eric Pease.
I'm Ryan Higginson.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for your patience here. Cat problem is never...
For those listening at home, we'd already started the meeting, gone through the introductions when the cat turned the computer off, and so we started over.
Anyway, it's not one thing, it's another. So Sean has proposed a few topics for discussion. So I think that we should talk about those things first. And then once we get through that, we can take some time and dive into RFCs, pull requests, et cetera. So let's start. The first topic, which is in the sync channel. Hang on.
I can just do it. I can intro it.
No, okay. Sean, yeah, you want to talk about it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I think the background for this is that over the last few months, we've added a bunch of nightly builds for things. The builds are pretty low maintenance in terms of having to have them done. And they are actually a really great leading indicator for problems that we might have. But they don't find everything. There was a PR that was done recently for Pony Up, which triggered Pony Up at the time had a Fedora bootstrapping task, and it found that there was a problem actually with an additional library, Z3, being included with the Pony C recent Pony C release. And it was causing it to fail. And this got me to thinking a bit more about some of the stuff that's come up with nightlies and various things and how nightlies have been a really good way to find problems as we made the CMix change. But then also just in general of being able to quickly notice when, hey, we had a PR that might have broken something, etc. And so my thinking was on this is a few things. Is one, I think we should come up with a list of some platforms that would be our supported platforms, whatever that means, and do a nightly just like build a simple Pony application, right? Like Hello World or something like that on each of these platforms. And if it ever fails, then we'll have a good indicator that, hey, we've broken something in a way that we didn't intend to, because we certainly wouldn't expect something like that to fail in the way that we discovered, like, and would have discovered much sooner with the Fedora one, where, hey, the only reason why this was passing elsewhere was because this particular library happened to be installed on most of our usual test machines. So that is part one of it. And then yes, there's a follow on topic from that, but wanted to get thoughts on that. Anybody think it's a bad idea?
I think it's a good idea.
That seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah, no objections here.
So I think the big question would be, is if there are no objections, is which things should we test on? And what I was imagining, and this sort of dovetails into another topic, so I'm going to come back to the what we test on in a minute. But the other part of this, because they're kind of circling related to each other, is when we did the update, we Ubuntu 2020, 2004. I don't know why I said 2020, probably because of the TV show. 2004 came out recently, and we switched all of our build stuff for glibc over to it. And what I realized when we did that was that there were a bunch of glibc things where that was a fairly large jump from Ubuntu 18 to Ubuntu 20. And with like our Alpine builds, everything is statically linked and it works great. But with our glibc ones, we're putting the effort into making these builds, but they probably are not going to work on some platforms or are going to be difficult. And what I was realizing was I was the person who advocated for doing away with doing per distro releases, in a large part because of how difficult it was to maintain the ones where we were packaging stuff up in deb, RPM, et cetera stuff. But with the infrastructure we have in place where we've been building our own nightlies, there's very little overhead to us if we had some distros that we called supported and particular versions of it, where we could say build for both. We could have a Ubuntu 18 and an Ubuntu 20, for example, Pony C that we do nightly and have those. Or, you know, any other particular distro, which I think, and this would be limited to glibc based ones, because that's where we can't be doing purely static linking, and that the overhead should be really low based on like the stuff that we have with the nightlies now. It would allow us to catch problems quicker. It would also allow people using something like Pony Up or whatever to be able to quickly and easily install Pony C should they want it from a pre-built source in a way that would probably be much easier for them than the current glibc one that we have, although that could be a fallback for anything where we don't have a build. And potentially even lower our having to help people try to get stuff installed or whatnot. So I was the one who advocated switching to the system we have now, and everybody, for the most part, seemed like they went along with me. And I'm now advocating for switching course somewhat on that. And I wanted to see, I would assume that nobody would have a problem with that. But I wanted to check to see if anybody had any concerns about like starting to do like pre-built for specific distros.
I am in favor of this. Sounds very reasonable.
So Theo, from that, if you were in favor of it, and we'll see if anybody objects, but I think that we would want to do those as like, rather than it just being, you know, unknown Linux, you know, glibc, we'd want to build support in for these different distros into Pony Up, and you and I would probably want to have a conversation about how we'd want to do that in Pony Up, right? And I have some follow-on thoughts about Pony Up from that, where maybe we could remove some of the clever that we've been trying to do with Pony Up as part of that.
What kind of clever?
Well, you know, the thing we're like, oh, is this a muscle or is this a glibc? And we're trying to figure that out and set it at the beginning, right?
Yes.
If we did like, hey, if we did like Ubuntu 18, let's say we had Ubuntu 18 and Ubuntu 20, right? For ones that you could install. I'm currently on Ubuntu 18, right? I upgrade my machine to Ubuntu 20, right?
Yeah.
With Pony Up, I should be able to easily switch myself from having Ubuntu 18 ones to Ubuntu 20 being my default ones that it allows me to install, right? And giving people, like, rather than us trying to figure it out, I think it would be realistic when you first start up Pony Up to be like, hey, what do you want this set to?
Yeah,
you know,
give them a list of the platform options and just say, you know, select one.
Yeah, and we don't try to be clever. I mean, like, sure, you download it on a Mac, but if you want to do it for something else, you could, you know. I mean, it's just, it's a bit less stuff to go wrong with us, and it's a small thing to ask somebody to do, I think, you know.
Yeah, it would have to be a command in Pony Up, because you need to be able to switch it after the fact, yeah.
Yep,
and
yeah.
And then in the init script, we'll just, like, run that command. It's like necessary to set the default if you want to set the default.
Yes. If we go down that route.
Yeah.
Does anybody object to this idea?
Seems reasonable.
Okay. One more follow on from that then is, what do we support in terms of this? Here's my thought is, we support any operating system, any distro or operating system that we need, right? So like, we're going to support Alpine because we need the Alpine builders, and Alpine makes it our life much easier for building like a statically linked Corral binary, et cetera. We support whatever platforms it is that we need internally to our own stuff. And then we support any platform, any distro, so long as it is still a supported distro by whoever it was, you know, like Canonical, Debian, or whoever. So long as there is somebody who basically requests it, or it's something that they would like to have. So for example, you know, I got a list of things that would make Ryan, who's on the call, his life easier. It's like 6 or 7 things, I think, when I look at them across the board, when I put everything together, you know, that you told me, Ryan. And I'd say, we can build and support. We could do those, and these are all ones. And Ryan's a part of the community. Let's make his life easier. Rather than trying to guess which ones we should do, I tried to get information about what are the most popular Linux distros, et cetera. But, you know, if nobody wants to use a pre-built pony on Arch, for example, which is very popular because they all want to build it on their own, then I don't think we should be investing the time in doing it. And if somebody comes along, it's like, hey, I'm trying to get started with Pony, but I'm on Fedora 31, but there's no pre-built one. You know, the turnaround time to be able to add, you know, a new one is basically here's a bit of CI configuration, and we need to create a working Docker container in order to do this. And then, you know, it's, at least for me, because I know how to do it, it's an hour maybe, you know, to add a new one.
I think it definitely makes sense to support those builds like on request, especially if we have like a generic Linux build.
Yeah, we'd have like
we currently have as a fallback, yeah. And then someone could say, you know, I tried installing the generic build because my platform isn't in the list, and it didn't work. And then we can decide, you know, whether we need to fix a generic build or if we can support their platform, which one makes sense.
Yeah. That's it. I'm done. Thoughts? Okay. Yes. Good. People like this.
To put it in there, the simple programs that we can test these nightlies against. Is there any issue with testing against the examples that are just in the PonyC directory?
So the only thing that made me think not the examples was that the examples are going to change over time, right? Mm-hmm. And that I wanted to have, like, this would basically be, this is a Docker container where, which I was imagining already has the programs in it, right? Okay. And we download and install Pony Up each time that this starts, and Pony Up installs PonyC, and then we run it through whatever it is. So we could do the examples, but I would say that if the examples at a fixed point in time, right? If you add new examples, they wouldn't be done, because then otherwise, you know, the container would need to be updated. Although, if we wanted to go further, if that ever became a problem in the future, we already have an awful lot of CI jobs which update containers on a daily basis. A lot of them, for people who don't know what I've been up to over the last few months, there's a ton of Docker containers that get updated every night to make all this stuff work, that we could add that in if it becomes something where we feel like it would be important.
Okay. I was trying to see if we could reuse what is already there in some way.
Yeah, my thought was just hello world, right? The thinking behind that being is that with the examples, when we compile the examples for PRs right now, we basically just make sure it runs, right? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking it'd be like, hello world, let's make sure it runs, and let's make sure that the output is what we actually expect, right? Yeah. But it could be the examples as well. I don't have a strong opinion one way or another on that.
Okay.
I just knew that, like, hey, if we tried to build Hello World on Fedora, then the problem would have been caught, like, when did we merge the CMake change, Gordon? 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Four? Yeah, it would have been caught. It would have been caught 4 or 5 weeks ago, instead of a couple days ago.
All right.
So I guess that does raise the question, though, is for the examples that we have right now, all that we care is it compiles. For something like this,
well,
does it
compiles, it links, and it runs.
Yes, it compiles, it links, and it runs. Yes. Is that good enough? In which case, I would say, yeah, let's do the examples, because then we have multiple ones, and it's, you know, it's a fractional amount of time that it takes to run them all, as compared to the thing that I was thinking, which is like a Hello World, and you make sure that the output is correct, because probably compiling, linking, and running multiple ones, even if we don't care about the output, is a lot better than just one and checking to see that it's at Hello World.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I could just copy whatever the, I guess then the process could be is install Pony Up. Actually, this wouldn't be too bad. We could install, the container could have Git. We could install Pony Up. We can install the latest nightly Pony C, and it could clone the repo, and then probably maybe the makefile can actually do just the examples without having a Pony C built. I don't know. It's something to look into. That doesn't need to be a topic of conversation right now. I'll start looking into what needs to be done to get all of this in place.
Okay. Sounds good. So that addresses both of the things you brought up, right?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. In that case, then, it has been a little while since I've run my sync helper. Let me just a minute. Did anybody use Pony Sync Helper while I was gone?
No.
To get a list of things for the sync?
No.
Okay.
I just went through and did it manually when I did stuff.
Do you think it's useful to have that list like dumped out in the sync channel and that sort of thing? Or?
I think so.
Okay.
I just forgot to use it that one time I was in charge.
No, sorry. It was more just like, should I keep using this thing or should we go back and do it. It helps me just because there's a lot of repos and it kind of helps to get a good glance of what's going on. But if it's not useful for anybody else, I don't want to like.
No, I definitely say it's useful.
Weird thing.
I always found it useful as well.
Okay. Let me just get that set up real quick. GitHub token here real quick.
Well, while you're doing that, Andy, mm-hmm. Because we have a lot of the relevant people here, pretty much all of them, Joe, you put, I was looking at the Linode pricing that you put in the administrative Zulip, you know, because looking at a place to move the playground to, right? And I'm imagining that their dedicated CPU for four cores machines that cost $30 a month would be sufficient for running the playground in a way where we wouldn't have the timeout problems that we had on like the smaller packet host before we upgraded to the larger one. I feel like based on the utility that we get, particularly with helping beginners out and everything with the playground, and the amount of money that we do have in the Open Collective and how it comes in, that $30 a month would be a reasonable cost for us to pay for hosting the playground. Does anybody feel that would be too much based on the resources that we have from the Open Collective? Anybody think that's a reasonable amount?
It seems reasonable to me. I haven't reviewed Open Collective in a while, but I believe that's,
We have more than four, less than $6,000, something like that.
Yeah, well, I was more concerned about like the monthly incoming, but I think it's probably more than the 30. So we're not
using it's definitely more than 30. I personally donate 25 a month, and we have multiple monthly donors.
Yeah. So, it seems totally reasonable in that context. To like you said, this is a big help for beginners, and also, sharing. Anyone who is sharing snippets with each other can be a really helpful way to discuss and demonstrate. So, yeah, I'm in favor.
Cool. Any objections to 30 a month?
Sure.
Cool. You object?
No objection. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sorry. That's confusing.
Joe, do you use Linode or was that just one that you picked up?
I don't use it anymore. I ran a couple of stuff a while ago on the video, but I stopped doing that. So.
Okay. That's anyway. We can continue that conversation in administrative. Andy, do your thing.
Yep. Okay. it still works. So I stuck the list of things that have been modified in the last, I just went with stuff that's been modified in the last week in the sink. So let's start here. If we burn through this, then we can see if there's anything else that we missed. This is a good starting point. Let's start with RFCs. Does that sound reasonable? Any objections to starting with RFCs? I'll take that as a no. So RFC 163, start with PRs. Behavior call syntax.
I'd be interested to hear from Sean if he has any insight into what Sylvan thinks may be wrong as far as the type system goes with this proposal.
I have not had a chance to have that conversation with him. He was hoping to attend this meeting, but is feeling kind of run down surgery-wise. He's been changing his painkiller dosage the last couple days, so he's kind of run down. Hopefully he'd be here next week and we could discuss then. If not, I also have a weekly meeting with him on Thursdays and I'll try to have a chat with him about it then. In between, you know, work stuff.
Yeah, okay, that sounds fine.
Cool. Okay.
So yeah, I think that's all for this for now.
Okay. 161, add the maybe library to the standard library.
Yes, I'd forgotten that was in there. Yes. I'm going to thumbs up this. I specifically asked Matthias to open a RFC for this, and it hasn't been discussed yet. He has this library, it already exists. He used it in a couple things which have which were things which got included in as official Pony things. There have been scenarios where in beginner help or other stuff where I've been trying to help people do things and have been like, yeah, you know, in this case, having a maybe type thing would be good for you, even though, you know, I'm usually just like, yeah, union type is fine. It provides some nice convenience wrappers over stuff. And I think it would make an excellent addition to the standard library. I think it would be helpful for people who are coming in.
Yeah, I've definitely spent some time trying to put versions of this together. It'd be nice to have it.
In the idea of there being multiple competing maybe things out there, I think would just be a disaster ecosystem-wise.
Yeah. I haven't taken a close... Has anybody taken a close look at this implementation just to get another set of eyes on it?
I am looking at it now.
One sort of question I have in mind is about Maven. I think that was also mentioned in the RFC.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Sorry. Yeah, one question I have in mind is like about naming. I think that was also mentioned in the RFC. I'm not sure that like opt is enough to like say what it's doing. I'm usually like a, so if we see use maybe at the top of a file, and then I see maybe in that file, I know the maybe comes from the use maybe, right? If I see opt in the file, it kind of makes me think of not necessarily the maybe stuff, but I understand there is some niceness to having it be a succinct name.
Yeah, my only other concern is that rather than having a maybe package, I'm thinking possibly just extending iter tools to be able to construct an iter from something of type, you know, t or none. And then you get all these things.
Yeah, interoperability with the iter tools package is an interesting question.
Yeah, or just getting it directly out of the iter tools package just by creating another constructor.
If people can have a thing which is a something or none, right? And they can do get where and get or else, you know, basically, hey, get me the thing, or if, you know, if it's none, give me this instead, those type of utilities, wherever it comes from, whether it's a maybe package or whatnot, I don't have a strong preference one way or another.
I think in my mind, some of it comes down to kind of the consistency and the and kind of the interoperability. I think that people who are somewhat familiar with the theoretical underpinnings would kind of expect the maybe package to work nicely with the iter tools package, or at least with some of the things that are provided by iter tools. If they kind of seem to be floating as two separate packages that work similarly, but not quite the way you'd expect in a language that had kind of a unified functional theory like this, then I can see that being maybe a little frustrating to people. So I guess that was kind of what I was thinking of in terms of looking at the implementation and seeing, is there anything else that we should add to make this more functional? Like, is this something where the way it's put together makes more sense than what's going on in the iter tools and should supersede the iter tools library? I could kind of see a few different directions for it. From a pragmatic standpoint, I know you hate that word, Sean, but I mean, from the standpoint of having something there that solves people's specific problem of wanting something like a maybe, like an option type, without thinking about kind of the expanding wavefront of other functional things you could incorporate into that. Sure, I'd say we just add it because it's a useful thing, but I don't want it to be super annoying for people.
Well, I would say this: if it's tweaking the iter tools package some, right? Mm-hmm. In order to cover some additional functionality that's in maybe, I would be fine with that. If that's the direction we went, if we also basically wrote up some documentation that we can point people to, including like it's part of the iter tools package documentation for how can you have like, you know, a maybe type thing, how do you use this for like a maybe type thing, and add like an FAQ entry for like, does Pony have a maybe, because people ask about it a lot, and point it at that, right? I would be good with that as well.
Yeah, or I mean, the other thing would be rename these things from, I mean, iter tools I basically just grabbed from Python when I was naming that thing. You know, if there's a better name that encapsulates or that covers the full range of these things, you know, we can change it to that too.
So one other thing to mention is that it seems like a large part of this implementation, you know, looking at like maybe .pony, a large part of this would fit squarely into iter tools, and then some of it might be like kind of a stretch. So it might make sense in interoperability's sake to like think about this as having, okay, if you just want maybe with like, you know, get or get or else, that kind of thing, then you can just use the maybe package. But then if you want to use it with iteration, then you use the iter tools package, and the iter tools package uses maybe, and they explicitly integrate together in some way.
Would there be, again, not having taken a close look at the implementation, does anybody know offhand if there'd be a performance impact on the iter tools package to switch over to using maybe instead of kind of what we do now?
Hard to know, but I was kind of thinking the iter tools package would add more methods that support maybe, for example, rather than affecting existing methods.
Okay, so you think that this would be, I mean, this could be a nightmare, but having like a maybe iter tools package, would that make more sense? Or,
well, not really. I was thinking about, okay, so, you know, with the iter tools package, you get this iter you know, object that you could do a lot of stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
And so the existing stuff that you currently do with it would, you know, would remain the same. But if it's operating on a maybe, for example, it could have some additional functions that you can use for maybe oriented stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want to make it a separate package, because then you're talking about like a separate object and it's not like interoperable anymore, but like I'd be talking about the same object that has now, you know, new methods for dealing with maybe in specific ways related to iteration. Yeah. While you could also use the maybe package in isolation, but just like as part of it, like anything that's currently in this implementation that is related, that could be fit better into iter tools, would get added in iter tools. And iter tools would have a dependency on maybe, and you can use maybe in isolation if you want, but if you want to iterate with it, then you use the iter tool package in addition to it.
Yeah, so my idea would be that the iter class would just have a constructor called maybe that just takes an A or none, and then just creates an iterator out of that. So like, you know, next will return, you know, if it's A, then next will have something, otherwise it will, you know, it will not, and there will be like has next will return false. And then you just add a method to iter that's called like next or else. And then, you know, it's just a, you know, the way that next either returns an A or raises an error, it just returns A or none.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, it returns A or the default that you gave it. And that would give you like the get or else style thing.
Okay.
And then everything else is already there.
Yeah, that's true. You know, like if you have an empty iterator and you map over it, then what you get on the other side is still, when you call next or else on the other side, you still get none.
All right. Yeah, I think
so. I'll write up a detailed explanation of that in this RFC.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sounds good. Yeah, way back in the day, I went through functional programming with Scala and tried to work out some of their examples in Pony and just ran into some kind of weird edges of the type system that I wasn't quite sure what to do with. So, yeah, I mean, I'm in favor of it if we can get it to work. And even if it doesn't work perfectly, it's still probably a good addition.
Yeah, the iter tools package as it currently stands pretty much takes the approach that Rust does for implementing all of these sort of functional style programming things generically over all collections and stuff,
mm-hmm.
which has turned out to be, at least, you know, from my perspective as a user of Rust and from other people I've spoken to who use Rust, it seems to be in general like success.
Okay.
Of course, there is a lot that can be done in terms of performance for the iter tools package that largely is a consequence of not having a generic type inference, but I think there's still a lot of things that can be improved even without that,
mm-hmm.
in terms of performance, which I have been looking into. So I might add some of that soonish.
Yeah, awesome. We had performance issues with the way we do loops, right? The way we currently do for loops, we're calling next and has next, and the way that we call it makes it hard to optimize at the LLVM level, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There was a thread about that in PonyC a while ago. I don't really remember the details.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. So, I guess the upshot here is maybe look into the interaction with iter tools a little bit and get back on this.
Yeah, I'll write up that detailed response.
Perfect. Sounds great. Okay. Change type of inroot to ambient auth. That's 159.
Yeah, is that ready for vote, final comment? I feel like it is, isn't it? What's that marked as?
It should already be final comment period 7 days ago. So.
I mean, we don't seem to have any more comments. So, yeah, move it to ready for vote for next week.
Okay.
Yep. I'll add a note to the last week in Pony.
Okay. And 147 added range redesign RFC.
I don't remember this one.
You don't?
No.
Commented on it a bit.
Well, it was from a while ago. So the last week we went through and some of the RFCs that were in final comment period that had some comments that were unaddressed, we removed the final comment period label. So this is it's sort of stale in that there have been concerns raised and elaborated upon that the RFC author has not updated yet.
From a year ago. Okay, sorry.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, I remember there was something related to range where I was like, and I didn't understand a lot of it, and I didn't think it was very clear, and I was asking for a lot of clarification, I believe, and probably a lot of What's the motivation for this, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of a performance of loops, like I just was, this would be kind of a detriment as currently written. And there are some comments that we gave that would address those. Comes back to those generic types. Do we have other RFCs we
want to
look at?
No. Well, that's it for the pull request. There's one RFC issue, 165 add pipe request add pipeline operator. Let's see.
There's also been some chat in Zulip about it. I'll mention in case anyone who's listening to this wants to go read that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, the issue? Damon's the pipeline one. Is that what I just heard?
Yes.
A lot of conversation about it.
Everybody loves pipe operators.
Do they?
I'm kidding. Obviously not.
Some people do. Some people, yeah.
Some people really love them.
Some people are like, meh.
So, I mean, this is one of the things we could discuss in the call, but the... I don't think the person who's raising the issue is here, and so it may be best to stick to Zulip for the conversation around it.
Yeah. I'll say this for folks who are here. I feel like we can do better than what all these other languages have done for pipeline stuff, where it's every language that I've used that has this in it, these have ended up being limited utility for me and the stuff that we're doing. That I'm doing, and I completely understand the motivation for it, with trying to make it easier to read. Like, here's the actual flow of how this is going to go, compared to doing functions inside functions, basically the reverse Pangolin. But for me, it's just like I feel like that if we put our minds to it, eventually we'd come up with something that's better.
Yeah, I will say sort of in a little bit in line with what Sean was saying and sort of opposed to what I said in the issue, I said I was in favor of this. I will say that like one thing that makes this really useful in languages like Elixir, for example, is the fact that they don't have methods on objects. And this is a sort of a way to syntactically simulate that as if they did, because like, you have something that you want to operate on, and in Pony or other object-oriented languages, a lot of the time that is, you call dot with the method with some arguments, and then dot with the method and then some other arguments on the result of that, and you can kind of chain things that way. Whereas in languages that do not allow like object methods, and only have like functions inside of like modules or primitives, however you want to call it, then this is a way for them to sort of emulate that same syntactical like visual flow, while still keeping the functions separate from the objects. And so in Pony, the places where this would be useful, or most useful, would be places where, let's say I want to do something to an object where I don't control the code, so I can't add a method to that object, or for whatever reason I don't want to, and I have this separate like sort of stateless primitive that I want to call a function on to operate on that object and sort of make it look as if it's a method call, sort of using the syntax to sort of emulate that flow. That's the cases where I find this to be useful, but it is a lot less prevalent its usage in my personal, like its usefulness in my personal opinion, like that it's a lot less prevalent in languages that have objects on methods, because a lot of times I'll just add an object to the method instead.
Yeah, especially since we already have like the dot greater than operator that it sort of just leaves this to being a situation where you only require something like this pipeline operator when you want to be able to call something like a method where that method doesn't exist.
Yeah, so, you know, if we had, if you had libraries with code that you wanted to, do things with that didn't control the library or didn't want to pollute that library with this logic, that would be a use case for that.
Yeah, I can remember wanting this a few times, but I can't specifically.
Oh yeah, I have also wanted this many times. it's just a matter of thinking of something slightly different than the pipeline operator that you see in functional languages. Something that probably has a little bit more to do with our like, I don't even remember what we call that operator, but it's like the receiver forwarding operator.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The method chaining. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think this is we can agree that something like this would be good, but maybe not this specifically, or needs to be refined a bit through discussion.
I think so.
Okay. In general, like I'm kind of in favor of it if it's useful sometimes, and like otherwise stays out of the way. Although some others, you know, may not have that outlook, but you know, and like if this solves some issues and stays out of the way in other places, I'm generally inclined to accept it and do it for it. But I understand if we say we want to like do better and try to refine and improve before implementing something that sort of half solves the problem or is not as useful as it could be.
Yeah. Okay. So should we add a note here saying that we should discuss this more in Zulip?
Yeah, I'll add a comment to the ticket.
Okay, sounds good. Cool. Of these issues, we've got 5 minutes left in the meeting. Of these issues, are there any other things that anybody wants to jump on before we close up?
There's a pony leg mode on fix missing. He did. Compiler is a, okay. Or,
anything else? Taking that as a no, no one has any hugely.
Well, wait, hold on. Let me get through the list here.
Oh, right? I'm sorry. Okay.
I stopped in to comment on one which doesn't need to be discussed, but FreeBSD support, Windows support. Issues, RCs, boom, 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 issues. Yes, there's one I'd like to discuss, if we have time, or at least highlight to people. Pony C 3536, C compiler uses linker gets hard coded.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
This feels particularly problematic for, building and shipping packages around, right?
Yes.
Like, What do you mean I can't use PonyC because I didn't install Clang in user bin Clang, right? You know, type thing.
We would expect PonyC to be set, but still it feels bad.
Yeah. I can see the value of this where it's like, I built it on my own machine and I have three versions of Clang, right? And I wanted to use a specific one. But if it's like, hey, we built this on a machine where Clang happens to be an opt bin or something, you know, then everybody shouldn't be required to have it in opt bin or to set the CC really. I don't know the right combo here, but if people could weigh in on this issue on it, you know, because we don't really have time to go over it, but to read 35, 36 and think about it, because it's a weird trade-off. And when I started noticing that it was specifically that path, I started to get a creepy feeling about it.
Super creepy.
I don't know.
There's also thing I'll quickly note on that is that some of the LLVM IR that we create is tied to the LLVM version, which means if you try to, sometimes you can't compile things with different Clang versions because they're also tied to LLVM versions, so it gets a little bit hairy when you're mixing versions.
Really? I've never noticed that.
I've seen that with the handwritten LLVM that we sort of insert in certain places. I forget if it has to do with unwinding, something like that. Like we have like a chunk of LLVM that gets LLVM IR that gets inserted in places that is problematic sometimes.
Yeah, it's for exception handling.
Yeah.
And yeah, we also have the ability to export LLVM IR, and so that's when you do that, that's tied. Or there's also the I forget the name for it, but there's a way to
look the bitcode.
Yes.
Compile it. That's Clang specific. Yeah, that's specific to a given version. Yeah.
Yeah. So the LLVM
never portable
match up with the Clang.
So yeah, like anyone who wants to rely on the bitcode for like whole program optimization or whatever, the version of Clang that we used to compile with would sort of be a contract that we want to keep stable, I think.
Can you add notes to that effect? Yes. I think it's a good one. Cover. Cool. I guess that's it.
Okay. Well, let's cap it here. I will stop recording.